Right now, we're in a few weeks for this new sermon series called My New Beginning. And the home base for this series is in Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 23. Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 23, and it says this: "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end." This is good news. "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So if God's mercies, hear this, if God's mercies are new every morning, it means that we're not defined by our past mistakes. And if we're not defined by our past mistakes, it means that each morning we can start all over and be the person that God wants us to be. Now, check this out. This week, I observed that verse and I took it to heart. And I'm like, okay, I am not defined by my past mistakes. So right now, I realized what God wanted, who God wanted me to be. And so I'm like, okay, God, so what? And he goes, "I want you to be, Richard, in shape." I'm like, okay. And so if God calls me to be in shape, then it means that I'm not defined by the double stuffed Oreos and the fried Twinkies and the jelly filled donuts I consume on a regular basis. I'm not defined by that. And so since God told me, okay, Richard, I want you to be in shape, I'm like, all right, so I got to do something about it. And so we got a membership at the Y. So got the membership at the Y. So Monday morning, I woke up really, really, really early, to ready to get my workout in. And I got a good workout. It was a 40-minute circuit workout. I mean, I left it almost all of it on the table. Notice I said almost all of it on the table. Because after I finished the workout, I'm like, I think I got a little bit left in the tank. Just a little bit. Since I had a little bit left in the tank, I went downstairs to the little receptionist, desk, and I checked out a little clipboard, and I looked, and then in the next 10 minutes, there was another class. I'm like, so how about I go ahead and take that class? So I get down there, I get in the classroom, I meet the instructor, and then the instructor, she was like, "Hi, how you doing, blah, blah, blah," doing a bunch of small talk. I mean, she was not, I'm like, okay, she was nice, you know, a little lady. And then she said, "All right, so we're about to get started. I need you to take off your shoes." I just finished a 40-minute workout. My feet smell like apple cider vinegar and hot dog water. Like, it was nasty, right? And I'm like, "Are you sure?" Yeah, take off your shoes. So I took off my shoes and exposed everybody to the atrocious smell of my hot dog water feet, right? And then, so I'm sitting there sweating, stank feet, and a bunch of people were coming in. And the more people I saw coming in, they were all ladies. All ladies. And it was the beginning of the new year. You know how everybody wants to work out at the new year. So it was packed. It's like 25 ladies in there, and I'm sitting there in the middle, the only man in there. Immediately, I was uncomfortable, right? You know, and I'm uncomfortable. I'm thinking, I'm like, I hope, you know, these ladies know I am happily married to a stone cold fox. I am not interested in any lady in here. And oh, this is just going to be bad. Well, then the workout began. It was the most insane, difficult workout I've ever done in my life. And I was in there with a bunch of 80-pound ladies. And it whooped my butt like crazy. All we did was planks and deep stretches. I am not a plank or a deep stretch kind of guy. All right. Every other move was like the downward facing dog. And you know, downward facing dog is like you're all fours with your butt up in the air. It's a deep stretch. And like everybody has great form, but not me, because my downward facing dog looked more like an awkward squatting hippo. Like, it was terrible. They tried to bend my body in ways my body was not meant to bend. And this is what makes it all terrible. Then you had this instructor lady who's bent like a pretzel with her head all the way back in her spine and her heel upside of her head. And she's talking in this nice, relaxing, calm voice. And she's telling us, literally, "Find your relaxing point. Oh, I humble that warrior. Oh, imagine heaven. She's saying all of this stuff while I'm over there sitting like this, you know, dying inside. And I'm like, how can I imagine heaven when I'm literally in hell with hot dog water feet right now? Like, this is terrible. Worst class ever. And then I had to, and she goes, will you be back? And I don't want to be mean. I'm like, sure. And so now I actually got to go back next week. You know, I left that class humbled and extremely sore. Church, in order, hear this, in order for me to achieve my goal of being in shape, I must go through the uncomfortable process of working out. I have to. If I gotta be in shape, I gotta work out. Now, without that process, my goal would not be reached. You see, many people, we desire the end product. We desire the finished product without having to go through the difficult process to get there. It's the same exact thing with Christianity. At times, we desire to achieve some sort of spiritual victory, some sort of huge milestone, some type of breakthrough. We desire to get on the other side of our current situation without having to go through the pain and the suffering and the difficult process to get to the other side. Am I the only one who struggles with that? I want to be humbled. I want to be that humbling guy, but I don't want to go through the process of being humbled, you know? Church, hear this. Every destination requires a journey to get there. You plug something in your GPS, the last thing they tell you is you're arrived. But before that, they said, make this turn, make this turn, make this turn, do this, do this, do this. And then, okay, you've arrived at your destination. And once you arrive, there's no more directions, right? Until you go to a next stage, until you go to a next destination. James 1 does not say you will automatically receive perseverance, does it? James 1 said the testing of your faith will produce perseverance. Even though we want to immediately snap our fingers and be this amazing Christian man or woman who will persevere through any trial, it doesn't work that way. It's the testing of your faith. That's why James said, consider it joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. You're not super excited that you're enduring the suffering that you have to go through this journey. You're excited because by going through this journey, you're going to get an attribute that makes you look more like God. We have to go through the process to be the man or woman that God has called us to be. It's the process that produces growth. Have you ever received, check this out, have you ever received a bill and an itemized bill, and on the itemized bill, it has something that makes no sense at first, and it's called the processing fee? I'm like, what do you got to process? I give you my money, you give me my stuff. Like, it's easy. But I'm thinking it's a little bit more difficult than that. Now, think about this. If I want a good, you know, some goods from a merchant, then I am going to give them my banking information, and my banking, you know, like my bank account will be drained, and then theirs will be, you know, theirs will be filled with something, right? And then when that transaction is complete, then I will receive my goods. And I don't know, like, how to electronically get money out of my stuff into their stuff. I don't know all the zeros and ones to do that, but obviously they do. And they charge me for it. Now, that processing fee kind of annoyed me, but if you think about it, it kind of makes sense. Again, they do all of that stuff so I can get my goods, men and women. Like, whenever we go through the process, there's indeed a fee. It will cost us something. It will cost us our time, our energy, sometimes our sanity. It will cost us something, and it's difficult to get to that other side. Without going through that process and without that stuff costing us something, we would not receive the goods that God has desired for us. We have to be okay with the processing fee. Does that make sense, men and women? All right. Now, Romans, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. And if you don't have your Bible, we spoon feed you and put it right on the projector, all right? Romans 12, verses 1 through 2 says this: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, by the way, which are new every single day. Now think about this, all right? So Paul is saying, look, like, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, which are new every day, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, let me pause real quick. Our worship is our lifestyle. A lot of times we think that, you know, worship just is limited to singing. There's a reason why I say we get to worship you now in our giving. We worship you in our song. Y'all, worship is a lifestyle. The more you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, you're sacrificing everything you have for the sake of Christ. You are in a state of worshiping God, and that is exactly what we're called to do. That's a whole nother sermon, all right? Which is wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, check this out. Do not be conformed to this world, but be, hear this, transformed by the renewal of your mind. That by testing, that's that process. Because of that process, you may discern what is the will of God, which is exactly what God wants us to do. That's the goods from that merchant, the good merchant. You can discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, Greek lesson. The Greek word for transformed is the word metamorpho. Metamorpho. Now, check this out. It is where we get the English word, y'all want to guess? Metamorphosis. Now, whenever you think of metamorphosis, what insect do you normally think of? A butterfly, right? Come on now. How about we have a nice little, biology, animal science. I don't know. Let's learn about some insects today. Consider the butterfly. Check this out. It starts off, obviously, as a caterpillar. And the caterpillar has only but one function in its life, one main goal, and that's to eat. Caterpillars, they eat and they eat and they eat and they eat and they eat. That's it. They start off as a little tiny microscopic little worm, and they eat and grow quickly, right? Now, the caterpillar eats, and the reason why it's eating is waiting to get to that stage in life where it has enough strength to get to the next stage in life. So again, caterpillar eats and eats and eats, and is strong enough to move to the next stage. So this is what happens. Whenever it's strong enough, it hangs up in like a little J, you know, like a little J, and the exoskeleton of the caterpillar hardens into a cocoon. Now, this is where it gets kind of cool. Inside of that cocoon, the digestive acids of the caterpillar literally liquefies the entire thing. Liquefies it. The caterpillar is reduced to nothing but a liquid. Ew, right? But during that time, from there, it starts growing new everything. A new digestive system, because it's not going to eat leaves in a little bit, you know? And then it gets new antennas so they can find a mate, a new eyes, you know, so they can see, you know, their mate. And then it starts to develop a cool set of wings so it can fly. The whole, like, it gets a brand new body. And then it emerges from the cocoon as a new creation, the butterfly. Now, why am I telling you all of these things that we learn, like, in the first or second grade? Now, church, the butterfly, hear this, the butterfly would not have been a butterfly if the caterpillar rejected the stage of metamorphosis. What if the caterpillar said, you know what, I am not going to go through metamorphosis? Do you think the final product will be the butterfly? The answer, obviously, is no. So, church, maybe God is using the season of life that you're currently in to transform you to what He wants you to be. The digestive juices liquefied it, destroyed it. But through that process, something beautiful emerged from it. What is God trying to do for you, church? Maybe, just maybe, God orchestrated the difficult time you're in right now, and it is necessary for you to endure this season so you can experience the breakthrough that you truly need, the healing that you've been waiting for, the victory that you desire. Church, maybe, and we can discourage whenever it's not happening, maybe the only thing standing in the way of your new beginning is you. That's a tough pill to swallow. Think about that. We want to experience all of these incredible things. We want our marriage to be renewed. We want the relationships with our brothers and sisters to be strong. We desire that great relationship with our children. We want to get over this addiction. We want to experience all of these things. But how many times, whenever God is telling us to go, they metamorpho, it's time to transform, I'm sending you all of these things that hurt, that will liquefy you, that would literally dissolve every negative thing that's about you, and I'm waiting for you to accept that and to go through it so you can be the man and woman I desire to be. I want to give you these things. But we reject. And so God sends it again and again and again. And we're praying for a way out of the very situation that God orchestrated us to be in. Why do you think it's so important for us to hold fast to God, to know the shepherd's voice? Pause. By the way, thanks a lot, Mike. I was literally going to preach that 2 weeks from, you know, and you ruined it. Thanks, jerk. All right. Good prayer time, my brother. I know it was a sermon. Now, maybe you're in humbling circumstances right now, church. Maybe you're in humbling circumstances, and it hurts. Who loves to be humbled? I've never heard a single Christian, no matter how super holy they were, and they're like, oh, thank God I'm being humbled right now. Hey, nobody likes to be humbled. And if you do, you lying. But maybe humility is the key ingredient to your metamorphosis. 2 Corinthians 12. Paul addressed this. Paul did. Why he has to be in a humbling situation. 2 Corinthians 12, 7, Paul says this. So to keep me from, hear this, from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. Now, we have no idea what that thorn was, but let's think about Paul for a second. God revealed to Paul some incredible things. Incredible things. You don't think Paul had the temptation to be like, think about it. Paul was a Pharisee. Pharisees, they were the know-it-alls. They were the standard. God wasn't the standard. They were the standard. No matter how much they communicated, God was the standard. That wasn't the case. A lot of Pharisees in hell. Paul made it all about himself at first. And then he met God. You don't think that old man wanted to kind of creep up a little bit? And you're like, man, you know this, and you know this, and you know this. Take credit, take credit, take credit. Imagine how ineffective Paul's ministry would have been if Paul would have made it all about himself. And so God saw that and like, Paul, metamorpho, I gotta transform you. Like the very thing that I want you to do could be hindered by your being conceited. So what do I have to do? I'm going to give you a thorn in the flesh. You don't see, like Paul said, three times I pleaded to take away, but after I realized what it was for, it was good. Is God calling you to be in that humble situation? And men and women, I have no idea. At least in the scripture, I didn't see any indication that God removed that thorn from his flesh. So maybe that thorn he had to endure for the rest of his life. He learned to adopt it because God orchestrated that. And it allowed him to be transformed to the man that he is called to be. Maybe your key ingredient to your metamorphosis is endurance. Romans 5:3 says, we rejoice in our suffering. Ugh. You think any Cowboys fans rejoiced last night? What, did you? Romans 5:3. I hope we don't lose. I'm going to hear it like crazy. Romans 5:3 says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces, that trial produces, that journey produces, that thing that I don't like, it produces endurance. Maybe you are sick and tired of checking out. Maybe you're sick and tired of just allowing yourself to be beat and you pressing the exit button and you're wanting endurance. And God goes, okay, if you want endurance, if you want to up your endurance, then I'm going to up the suffering. But whenever we do suffer, we pray that God will remove us from suffering. You know, I prayed one time that God would remove me from the pulpit here at MBF because of the great suffering that I have to endure. I did that. God answered that prayer, and the answer was, nah, bruh, I ain't gonna do it. And I'm thankful. It makes sense. If God would have answered that prayer, yes, I would have been, bye, Felicia, I would have been gone. Gone. But I would not, but some amazing things are happening here. I get to experience it that I didn't have the mind to understand and see previously. Endurance. Maybe that was a key ingredient to my metamorpho. Is it yours, men and women? Maybe. Just maybe you need compassion for others. Maybe compassion is part of your metamorpho, your transformation. 2 Corinthians 1 3-4 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, which are new every day, and God of all comfort. Check out this, who comforts us in all of our affliction so that we may be able, oh, hear this, y'all, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with a comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Maybe for Richard Marks, whatever suffering that I experience from growing up to right now, maybe, just maybe, God used all of these sufferings that he knew, like I had the strength, you know, if I'm relying on him, the strength to overcome, maybe he allowed me to go through whatever for you. But we don't focus on that, right? When was the last time you've experienced a great deal of suffering and you thanked God for it because through this suffering, you will be able to help somebody else during their suffering? We don't do that, right? But maybe that's exactly why we're experiencing that, men and women. Maybe. We're obviously here to love, serve, and encourage one another. Maybe the suffering that you've gone through or going through is for somebody else. Are you using that to experience metamorpho and to share that, to, you know, like bear somebody else's burden so they can experience that metamorpho as well. Church, I said all of that to make this main point. Don't reject the key ingredient needed for your metamorphosis. Think about this. Let's say I baked the cake. And I had the flour, I got the eggs, I got the butter, you know what I'm saying? I got the cream, I got all of that stuff, and I bake the cake, and I taste it, and I'm like, ooh, I forgot the sugar. You think that cake is going to be delicious? Key ingredient. What cake are you baking without the key ingredient? Accept it, amen? This is my final point. Be content in whatever season of life you're in. Love, Paul said this to the church of Philippi in Philippians 3, second half of verse 11 through 13. It says, "For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty of hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We say Philippians. Philippians 4. We say Philippians 4:13 all the time. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." But let's go to the verse before that. How does he have that assurance, that confidence that he can do all things? Because he's like, despite any circumstance, I'm content. In any circumstance, like, that power that God has given me isn't less power in difficult seasons. It's just as much in a nice and a great season. So I can do all things in all circumstances. Sometimes whenever the fire is turned up in our lives, we think the power inside of us has left, has gone. It's the same power we have on a good day. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Even if it's a cause of your own mistakes, your own past. A lot of you men and women, the suffering that you're experiencing is because of your own past. But check this out. Let's go back to the caterpillar. The exoskeleton of the caterpillar is like hardened, and then he is liquefied. He is liquefied. Of all things he's liquefied by the digestive acids, the nasty stuff. And God used the most repulsive thing in that caterpillar's body to bring about the most beauty. Maybe the addiction that you've experienced, that divorce that you experienced, that brokenness that you experience, whatever that in your mind or in the world's mind that is the most disgusting thing about you, God is like, you know what? I can use that to liquefy everything that you are to produce the man or woman I called you to be. That's good news. I can't do that. Jesus died and was separated from God. The darkest moment in the history of the world. And God used that to be our greatest accomplishment in the world. Yes, even though you may messed up, that you failed, that you experienced all of this stuff, you don't think God can redeem that? If you look at a butterfly, one of the first things you notice is the color of its wings, created by digestive acids, the nasty stuff. That's good news, men and women. Everybody, let's rise to our feet. Our sermon series is called My New beginning. And I'm going to say this like crazy. God's mercies are new every day, which means that we're not defined by our past mistakes. Right now, this very moment could be your new beginning. This very moment. Let's say you had a terrible experience last week, last month, whenever you were a kid. Let's say you had a terrible experience before you even came through these doors. You don't think something can change? It's your decision. Metamorpho. Something bad happened yesterday. Metamorpho. Something bad came across your mind 10 minutes ago. Metamorpho. God will use that digestive acid to create in you that new creation that we're going to talk about next week that he desires you to be. Wake up. Own your identity, which is a new creation. You saints, known that identity, which is the new creation. And if you're in here today and you don't know Jesus, you're exactly where he wants you to be. But he also challenged you to make one more step, and that's to submit your life to him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's anybody in here that does not know Jesus, and right now, and you're like, look, I want to start all over. I want to follow you, and you show me what it looks like to be the new creation. If there's anybody in here that does not know Jesus, that would like to know Jesus today, will you be so bold of just slipping up your hand? You men and women of faith in here, let's accept our transformation. Let's accept our metamorpho and be the man and woman that God wants us to be. Vic Newsom's class, Slow Motion Miracle. It's about going through that metamorpho. I challenge each and every person in here. That first service at 9:30, go to that class. It's incredible. If you're really struggling to be that new creation, he'll give you the necessary steps to be that new creation following God. Amen. It's next service, starting next service at 9:30. Grow Track is a perfect way to kind of start that transformation and your commitment of being a part of the church. If you have not gone through Grow Track, go through it. It is amazing. If you're in here and you're looking for a family that will love, serve, and encourage, and you want to be more rooted down in here, join a life group. These men and women constantly remind me who I am and who I, you know, and to accept that transformation, that metamorpho process. And I am glad that those men and women, I can lean on those men and women to get me through whatever I'm going through. Church, I love you with sugar on top. But it doesn't compare to how much God loves you. Leave these doors and start being that new creation that God wants you to be. Take care. God bless.